Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop on this fine food Friday, October 6th. I'm Ray Graff. Chowder. There's the age-old favorite of clam chowder, whether you take it Manhattan or New England style. But there are many other ingredients you can combine to create a delicious chowder. Folks from the 11th annual Troy Chowder Fest are in the studio to detail some of their unique recipes and answer your questions. The Chowder Fest is this weekend. And if you have a question about chowder, give us a call, 800-348-2551. Maybe you want to swap some recipes, 800-348-2551. Yes, chowder, a program whose time has come. Your calls are coming up on Vox Pop Food Friday, right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today's program on this Food Friday, it's all about chowder. And we have the perfect folks in the studio. They're taking part in Sunday's 11th annual Troy Chowder Fest. Rich Matthews is with the shop in Troy, where he's worked as head chef and in management. He's also worked at Jack's Oyster Bar in Albany and Brown's Brewing Company in Troy. Dan Frament is general manager of Mud Daddy Flats Quesadillery, also in Troy. And Katie Harmon is the executive director of the Downtown Troy Business Improvement District, which organizes the Chowder Fest. Richard, Dan, and Katie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
Nice to have you here. And our number is 800-348-2551. If you want to talk chowder today on a Food Friday, 800-348-2551. Or you can email the program, voxpop@wamc.org. Our news director, Ian Pickus, wanted me to remind you all that the proper way to say it is chowder.
Chowder.
So if we lapse into that at times during the program, that's the reason why. 11th annual, and it's getting bigger and bigger every year.
It sure is.
Katie Hammond, tell me about how this started. I assume you weren't here at the very beginning.
I was not, no.
But every year it seems to just grow exponentially.
It really does. Yep, it's kind of amazing to watch.
How many people did you serve last year?
We think around 15,000.
Wow, that is incredible. Who knew that that many people were interested in chowder?
Yeah.
And it's an amazing event. I went to your website, and the list of participating restaurants and chowders here, I think 30 restaurants involved?
20.
20 restaurants involved. That shows you how good my math is, and that's why I'm in radio today. One of the funniest things about the website, it says there will be a secret panel of restaurant critics. And then it lists them a little later on the website.
Does it say secret? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it says it's a secret panel. And then, of course, we have Steve Barnes, Deanna Fox, Hall of Famer here on the program, Louise Farbstein, Chris Brown, and Dan Van Cott. And so tell us about the judging process.
Yeah, so we have five judges every year. We try to get some local bloggers and people who talk about food as much as possible. And we're excited to have Edible this year as well.
So what do you do? You just get a little tiny spoonful?
They taste everything, yeah.
Really? Mm-hmm. All 20?
Every chowder. There's actually 23 chowders and 20 competitors.
That's pretty exciting. And there will be a People's Choice Award as well, too?
Mm-hmm. Yep, everybody gets to choose their own.
Well, that's exciting. Rich Matthews, you brought stuff. What did you bring?
Today I brought a traditional smoked cod chowder. That is just based off of a life of going to Kennebunkport, so I'm used to the kind of flavors and textures of a traditional chowder from Maine. I also brought, as like a slight differentiation from traditional, I brought a Mexican street corn style chowder, which is purely vegetarian. We at the shop have like gained quite the vegan and vegetarian following, but vegan chowder is a little bit more challenging, and I decided to stay away from that.
Yeah.
And a third odd thing that I brought today is kind of chowder's cousin. It's originates from Mexico.
Yeah.
And this is a tradition. This is a pozole. So in replacement of potatoes, you have hominy, which is a lye-soaked and then slow-boiled corn, closer relative to field corn or traditional maize. That's with black beans in a 12-hour ham hock stock. And I look forward to having you try all three.
Oh, we'll give them a try very soon here. So you go to Kennebunk often?
Yeah, Kennebunkport. I grew up 20 years of going there every single year from the age of 3 months up until, I mean, even now I try to go back, you know, when I can. And it's just a great place to go and just escape. Maine is truly vacation land.
We go to York every summer, York Beach every summer.
Yeah,
and so one thing I learned, her family has been going there 80 plus years.
Yeah.
One thing I learned a couple of years ago, not because I got yelled at the restaurant, but because my wife almost took my head off. We're at the restaurant and I was having chowder. I said to the waitress, oh, is this from a can? You just don't do that in Maine.
Yeah, there's no reason to. You have all the freshest seafood possibly available. And
yeah, well, I'll never do it again.
Yeah.
Dan Frament, what is a quesadillery doing in the Chowder Fest?
Hey, just because I make quesadillas doesn't mean I can't make other goodies.
What are you making?
Well, I'm going after the vegan title. I have a ginger, carrot, and kale chowder.
Really?
Really.
And what do you think?
It's fun. I like it. There's a secret ingredient that I don't think anybody's going to spot, so I'm going to wait and see who can pick it out.
Really? Did you bring any?
I did. I brought some of that.
I'll be able to tell you. Go ahead. Bring me some now. I'll tell you what the secret ingredient is. Okay.
And then my wife decided that it's time I went after a seafood category.
Yeah. Well, it's a chowder fest.
It's a chowder fest.
Sure.
It's like usually I go vegetables and meats and don't do a whole lot of seafood, but she said, hey, it's time for you to stretch out a little bit. And she really loves my calamari chowder.
Ooh.
That I make in the store.
Yeah.
Or I'll make clam chowder in the store, but never for anything this large. So she said, it's time for you to step up and do it.
And what'd you make?
I made a fish chowder.
A fish chowder.
Chowder.
Calamari chowder sounds interesting. I've never heard of that.
Calamari chowder is a lot of fun.
Yeah?
It is a lot of fun.
Why didn't you make that for the Chowder Fest?
That's a lot of calamari.
Is it? Ah, okay. You
That's
make
a
point.
Lot of calamari.
Right, now.
You're like, well, my budget wouldn't. Making a 5-gallon pot's one thing, making 30 gallons is another.
And that's how much you expect to go through during the Chowder Fest on Sunday?
30 gallons of each. I have 60 gallons of chowder waiting to roll.
And the event begins at what time on Sunday?
Katie? 12 o'clock.
12 o'clock and goes until?
12 to 4.
12 to 4. And you expect, it's going to be hot. I think
it's
80 degrees.
It's going to be hot, yeah.
Perfect chowder weather.
Oh, exactly.
But it's a nice day to get out, and I know there will be entertainment for the family, and I saw DJs and such mm-hmm. being there. I don't think hip-hop when I'm thinking chowder, but
We were trying to figure out ways to get people to all areas of the district, so you follow the music for
okay.
this festival.
Ah, you make a point. You make mm-hmm. a point. Okay, so this is from Dan Frament, who is general manager of Mud Daddy Flats in Quesadillery. It's a, let's see if I got this correct. It is a gingered carrots and kale chowder, correct?
Correct.
All right, it looks beautiful, colorful. And the secret ingredient is, first of all, it's delicious. Second of all, the secret ingredient is, I'm going to say grasshoppers.
Nope, not grasshoppers.
All right, what do you got in here? It's beautiful. You don't have to tell us the secret ingredient, but tell us how you made this. It's rich. It's satisfying.
It's
really nice.
It starts with 100 pounds of carrots, peeled, chopped, and then braised down with onions, turmeric, and a little garlic. Then it's added to a vegetable base, cooked till everything is soft, and pureed.
Mm-hmm.
Then I put in the potatoes. It's a chowder, so it's got to have chunks of potatoes.
Sure.
And kale.
It's really good.
Little lemon juice and actually a little bit of coffee.
Coffee is the secret ingredient.
Coffee.
You gave it away.
I gave it away.
Before
it's hard to sit on. But hey,
you know, why
it's
coffee?
Coffee.
Why though, man? Why?
The chowder was a little sweet. And the bitter from the kale didn't take away enough of the sweet. It was missing something. It needed an odd left hook. So we went with coffee.
So if I have a couple of bowls of this in the morning, I won't need to drink coffee?
Not that much coffee.
No? Okay. Well, let's take an email here, and then we'll get to the phones after our first break. The number here, 800-348-2551. This one's from Holly, who writes, any recommendations on making a vegan chowder that closely replicates the creaminess and flavor of an original New England chowder? And that's from Holly.
Well, interestingly enough, I actually did quite a bit of research. I was considering doing a vegan chowder, and it was not feasible on the grand scale of having to do 30 gallons of that variety. That's the really tough part with this.
Mm-hmm.
If you're familiar at all with the process of making almond milk, that would be your initial base. So you want to use blanched almonds. You want to soak them either in warm water for about 2 hours or cold water sitting out overnight. And then you puree that in the best, like the highest powered blender that you possibly have. And then you strain that out through cheesecloth. It's a little bit more work intensive, but that's like part of that effect of choosing a vegan lifestyle is that some of the stuff takes a little more effort, but you know every single ingredient in it. Now, if you want to replicate the seafood flavor, you can use like a Japanese nori or a seaweed. So you're going to impart that seafood flavor because you got to think that clams, they're like a bottom feeder. They're a filter feeder. So they're actually consuming seaweed, and that's part of the flavor inside the shell. So, like I said, if you want to just start small and then work your way up from there, but even something like a toasted nori that you would use for sushi, and they carry these products at pretty much every single big box grocery store around, or there's also specialty Chinese and Japanese stores right along Central Ave in Albany.
All right, and our number here is 800-348-2551. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a break. We have Rich Matthews, Dan Frament, and Kate Hammond here. We'll talk about the 11th annual Troy Chowder Fest and your calls coming up after this.
Support for WMC comes from Equinox Farm. Greens are served in restaurants spanning from Columbia County to Boston. Products available for wholesale, 413-229-2266. Rolling Rock Farm Salt and Seasonings, Sheffield, Massachusetts. Now crafting black garlic and black garlic products in small batches. BlackGarlicSeaSalt.com for more information. Big Elm Brewing, tap room open Thursday through Saturdays, noon to 6 p.m. Crafting ales and lagers in Sheffield, Massachusetts since 2012. BigElmBeer.com. Wild Bird Junction Backyard Nature Shop, Delmar. Offering wild bird seed, bird feeders, bird houses, bird baths, binoculars, nature gifts, and garden decor, where people and nature come together. WildBirdJunction.com. And Elements Hot Tub Spa, downtown Amherst, Massachusetts. Offering hot tubs in 5 indoor or outdoor private rooms, plus a team of massage therapists for individuals and couples. ElementsHotTubSpa.com for gift certificates and photo gallery.
Vox Pop on WAMC. Food Friday. Ray Graff here in the 11th annual Chowder Fest going on in Troy on Sunday. It'll be a beautiful day, and it's always a hugely popular event. We're here with Kate Hammond, who's the executive director of the Downtown Troy Business Improvement District. That's the group that organizes the Chowder Fest every year. Dan Frament, general manager of Mud Daddy Flats, Quesadilla in Troy, and Rich Matthews with The Shop in Troy. And Rich, the smoked haddock, is it haddock?
Yeah, smoked haddock.
Chowder is outrageously good.
Yeah, thank you.
Nicely done.
Yep.
What's in it?
Well, so with a traditional chowder, there's a complexity of layers of flavor that you want to go into. So the firm, like a firm base that you want to start with for any chowder is fatback or what, bacon, any sort of fat, like high fat content.
You had me at
lean
bacon.
Protein.
Me
so
too.
You start with that and you want to render the fat out as much as possible. And it takes a good 30, 45 minutes to achieve that flavor profile. And then as the meat and the bacon starts to brown, that's when you want to introduce the rest of your aromatics. And your aromatics in this case are just going to be a 2-to-1 ratio of onion to celery. The haddock is smoked. We have a smoker right now with red oak, an hour and a half long process. And I smoked that with butter to help kind of keep the moisture in the cod and also give another vessel to carry on the smoked flavor. And the potatoes are boiled with high salt content, so they maintain their firmness, and that kind of helps stabilize the flavor and texture of the potatoes throughout the rest of the cooking process.
It's really good, and maybe you win the award this year.
Yeah, we'll see.
Who won last year, Katie?
There's multiple winners.
Okay, well, who won the let's see. There is the there's the best seafood, best vegetarian, most original, and overall favorite. Who won the overall favorite last year from the judges? Do you remember?
I would have to look it up.
You don't even remember?
It's on our website.
Who won the People's Choice last year? You don't remember?
I don't remember.
Oh, Katie. Okay. All right, let's go to the phones.
I haven't looked at it in a while.
That's fine. I forget everything, too. I only wrote your names down so I'd remember. Let's go to Ken in Rosendale. Ken, you're on.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I represent the Rosendale Farmers Market, and our last market is October 29th, and we always have a soup that we offer to our customers for free. I'd love to do a chowder. Right now, we have frozen butternut squash puree, and I'm sure we can get apples. Any advice is how I can turn that into a chowder?
Who wants to go first?
I think this ties into Dan's recipe very well.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, last year, my vegetarian was a roasted pumpkin corn chowder, and the butternut squash would work very well with that. You can use nuts instead of bacon. I mean, I'm a big bacon fan.
Yeah.
But smoked nuts with the butternut squash and the apples would be absolutely fantastic.
You are sounding so good.
How do you get the thickness and consistency, though, in that recipe?
Actually, I would use potatoes. Mashed potatoes as your starch as a thickener. It won't throw off your taste, but it'll help. The starch will help thicken and give it body.
And there's something with the chowder that you really want to do taste the lightness and sweetness of a potato. The lightness and sweetness and creaminess of the actual potato itself will kind of lend more of a traditional mouthfeel and also consistency to a chowder that you would usually expect.
All right, Ken, good luck and thank you for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Sunday is the 11th annual Troy Chowder Fest, and we go over to Carol in Vermont. Carol, you're on.
Hi. I'd like you to define for me chowder versus soup. Some of these recipes I've been listening to so far sound like soup to me. So how do you define a chowder?
Well, I think that a chowder very specifically is supposed to be a soup that contains a combination of onion, celery, potato, and often cream-based. With the Chowder Fest, though, we kind of like try to broaden our horizons as to what a chowder could possibly be. I mean, the foundation of it is that it was supposed to be a workman's stew that was made over the course of an entire day and left in a pot over a stove to cook until the fishermen came home back from the docks and all of that. So it's kind of like chowder is more of a tradition than it is an actual defined definition of any one specific thing. So there's definitely the traditional approach, but if you're putting a lot of hard work in everything and complexity and layering and flavors and all of that and have like a smoky element and also the potatoes specifically, I think very much define a chowder. I think you're headed in the right direction to exactly what a chowder is. And region to region, this recipe varies.
Aha, that was interesting. Thank you so much.
Hey, Carol, you're from Vermont. Can you say it for me? Chowder. That's much better. Thank you for the call. Our number here is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. It's a Food Friday. We talk about chowder today, the 11th annual Troy Chowder Fest going on. And we have Rich Matthews, Dan Frament, and Katie Hammond here today. And 20 restaurants, 23 chowders on hand for Sunday, celebrity judges, and a People's Choice Award. And then the one thing that jumped out at me, panel, and maybe you can explain this one to me. The Plum Restaurant and Bar offering Detroit-style clam chowder. All right, anybody have any idea what Detroit-style clam chowder is?
Very gangster. It's going to be
gangster. I'm not sure. Is her chef from Detroit?
Her chef is from Detroit. Brandon is from Detroit. And kind of with everything else, you get regional variations. So you head to Rhode Island, and actually a chowder has a different base. It's a clear broth. And there's sometimes, but not always, a tomato aspect added, but it's not like the Manhattan chowder, which is obviously a tomato-based chowder. It's supposed to have a tomato broth, clam, and also kind of a spiciness from red pepper flake. So I'm sure that it's delicious. I'm not entirely sure what the Detroit clam chowder does entail, but I think there's a bit of intrigue there and definitely worth checking out.
If anyone knows anything about Detroit-style clam chowder, the number is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You mentioned, Rich, Manhattan clam chowder.
Yes.
And we had this discussion in the newsroom today, the New England versus Manhattan. But there are other styles, too. Yeah,
there's definitely
Maryland and all these other ones,
there's,
too.
There's a Long Island style chowder as well, which is a little bit different.
It's fairly close to Manhattan.
Yeah, fairly close, but it's not the same thing. Like it's all about availability of ingredients and also, you know, what it was born from. You also have to look at immigration and kind of where everybody evolved into New England. With New England, you have a lot of like Irish folk that moved in, so that's, I think, where a lot of the potato comes from. And also, it was just an easy way, high caloric intake, to make sure that your energy output was supplemented throughout the day. Now, I think you get to other parts, and dairy is not as prevalent in Long Island because there is no ability to actually do a lot of dairy farming down there. There's just not a lot of space available for it. So, and also, in other port towns, you have a French influence, and you have some French fish stews that are very popular in France that also translate to a less cream-based soup.
Have you made Manhattan-style chowder before?
Yeah, I've for years and years at Jack's. They claim to have an original recipe from 1913, and it's one of their best-selling soups. It's been on the menu for a very long time, and you know, I was one of the guys that was responsible for making that every single day.
For years and years, I preferred that over the New England style.
Yeah.
And tell us what goes in a classic Manhattan chowder.
Classic Manhattan style, you don't necessarily have to use bacon as the base for that, but sometimes it is used. And then you kind of, once again, build it from there. You have the aromatics. There's an addition of green pepper. So it's more of a Italian trinity with this one. I think that would play into the original recipe for it. So you start with celery, onions, green peppers, you saute that, and then you kind of build up from there. You use a different process of thickening, oftentimes a whitewash, which is just a combination of any starch and water made into a slurry, and you pour that in. Whereas with a New England style chowder, traditionally you would use a roux. Going way back over 100 years ago, you would actually use crackers that were soaked in milk or cream, and you use that as your thickening base, and that's an entirely different process.
Very interesting. Yep. When you're up in Kennebunk, do you find that there's a subtle sort of looking down one's nose at the Manhattan-style chowder?
Yeah, it's just not respected at all. I think you even get into Boston and you have that automatic, addressing people from New York as Yankees, and there's not necessarily like a direct correlation between the two, but the Manhattan style is definitely not favored.
No. Imagine what they think of the Detroit style. Well, our number here on Food Friday is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. We talk about the 11th annual Troy Chowder Fest, which takes place on Sunday in Troy, New York. Rich Matthews, Dan Framond, and Katie Hammond here, and looking forward to it. How much prep, Dan, will you be doing to get ready for Sunday?
Oh, I've been at it all week.
Really?
Been at it all week. Like I said, I started with 100 pounds of carrots, 100 pounds of potatoes, 40 pounds of sweet potatoes. I'm up to 10 bunches of celery, 5 pounds of ginger.
You do all this yourself?
Yep, me and the people that work for me. We're a small staff, but yep, we've torn in and been peeling, chopping, prepping, getting it set, and then it's break out the pots and start making the base.
But I mean, how do you deal with your day-to-day business at the restaurant? Isn't
that a lot of coffee?
A lot of coffee.
A lot of coffee.
Whatever doesn't go in the chowder.
There we go.
You drink that. All right, Katie Hammond, what kind of preparations are you all making for this year?
Everything behind the scenes. So they're all doing the chowder and we're doing everything else. So scheduling, making sure that we have all the supplies for everyone. We're running to Restaurant Depot after this to pick up some extra stuff. But quite a bit.
What time will your day start on Sunday?
Between 6:30 and 7.
It's pretty early. You'll be ready by the time it ends. You'll be ready. Yeah. But you won't be out of there until 7 o'clock at night, I imagine, yeah?
Probably.
That's pretty exciting, though. The Troy Chowder Fest, 11th annual. And whoever thought 11 years ago that you'd be still doing it today?
I honestly don't know who started it.
Every year, it gets bigger and bigger. And where can people find out more?
DowntownTroy.org.
DowntownTroy.org. And will there be a list of participating restaurants and such?
There's a list of participating restaurants, all the entertainment and everything else that you could want.
The Beer Diviner. Now, I've not been familiar with the Beer Diviner. So you got a Divine BBC Chowder, Divine Beer, Bacon, Roasted Corn Chowder. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm.
You steal any ideas, Rich, from you get a chance to walk around and see what other people are doing?
I don't get a chance to really do much of anything, unfortunately, when we have community events like this. It does, as Dan said, take a great deal of preparation. Then day of, I mean, you're talking having to heat up 60, 70 gallons of chowder at the same time. And imagine doing that at home. Every large pot that I had to be utilized twice in order to get both chowders done. And
it's kind of an incredible process.
Yeah, it's tough. Imagine having 6 pots of the same thing and having to make it taste the same exact way with every single pot. And that in and of itself is like a juggling act.
Well, that's tricky. But if you follow the recipe exactly, that you should be able to do that,
well,
right?
With things on such a large scale like this, it's really hard to adhere to a recipe because things change as you multiply the amount of stuff that you're making. So thickeners behave differently. The potatoes behave differently. Additions of salt and pepper and any other herb that you decide to add interact with it differently. So it doesn't really translate from a home recipe to a large-scale recipe, unfortunately. So a lot of this, I would say, is guess and check. We just do it based off of instinct. We do this because we love doing it, and these are well-thought-out concepts from all the chefs. We've all put a lot of work into it, and part of it is to kind of pay homage to the work that the bid does for us. I mean, this is a fundraiser like at the end of it for the bid.
You've been involved with this few years now, 4 or 5?
Yeah, when I was at Brown's Brewing Company was the first year that I did it, and it's a completely different setup, and I would say far more efficient and far more friendly to the businesses. It used to be centralized in Riverfront Park, and as much as the city, I think, tried to showcase that investment in downtown Troy, I mean, imagine not only have to heat this stuff up, but also cart it, you know, for some people a mile from your restaurant. And it became a logistical nightmare, I think, for some of the restaurants to have to do that. You have food safety issues, and now everyone can just, if they choose, they can do it out of their restaurant or on a space like relatively close by, so they can utilize their kitchens.
But then, Katie, the entire thing sprawls.
It does.
And how do you focus the participant?
So anybody that's located outside of our district doesn't have a storefront in our district. They're located in the Monument Square area, which is basically the Farmer's Market footprint.
I know Rivers Casino, for instance, they'll have in that Farmer's Market
area. Yeah, so there's 7 people that'll be in that Farmer's Market footprint. And then EOC and BRADS will be in separate locations. They're not located downtown, per se, but they'll be close by. And then we try to get people throughout the entire district so we can promote all of downtown.
But if chefs are staying in their own restaurants, do you have little signs and that says go this way?
Lots of signs. The programs tell you where to go. Our website will tell you where to go, as well as there's a shuttle. If you haven't been on the trolley downtown, you can definitely hop on the trolley and make your way around town.
Plus, Troy is a very walkable city. If you want to find where the soup is, follow the crowd.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have a crowd. I mean, getting it out of the parking lot where you would get your tickets and get into a line and stand in the parking lot and wait for soup, and you would just go from line to line. Now you get to walk around this beautiful city, get to see where these soups are made, who's making them, and see what else is available while you're there. It introduces people to the city while getting them around, and it treats them to soup at the same time.
And I guess you just pray for nice weather. And it looks like
like it's good.
I don't see Rocco DeFazio's outfit on this list here. Well, how come we can't pizza chowder or something, you know?
Maybe next year.
All right, fair enough. Our number here is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. You can also email the program, voxpop@wamc.org, voxpop@wamc.org, if you have a question. All right, Rich Matthews, what else did you bring? I don't think you can top what you already gave us.
Okay, let's. I'm gonna give you a sampling of the Mexican corn chowder.
Okay,
just give me 1 second, and I will serve that up. There's a garnish for this one.
Because, a garnish?
Yeah, there's a little bit of garnish.
All right, fair enough.
Paprika and garlic aioli, because traditional Mexican street corn does come with that, usually rubbed on the outside. Now, as the base for this, for the smoky part, to recreate it, I actually made I smoked the corn for about 2 hours in a smoker, once again with red oak. And that imparts like that kind of the savory aspect.
All right, now everybody should have a little bit.
Yeah,
again, I cannot eat alone here. So you put some chips on the top.
Yeah, the chips are just a lightly seasoned tortilla chip, and that adds a little bit of kind of like fresh flavor, kind of waking your taste buds before you taste the rest of the
chowder. It's so thick, and that's got to be a trick in itself, making a nice chowder with consistency is, I'd say, half the battle here.
Yeah, consistency is tough because the mistake that a lot of cooks make is when you do add the potatoes have their own thickening power. And then sometimes you do have to use a thickener. In this case, to keep it gluten-free, I used a food-derived starch, and that makes it easier for people with celiacs and people who choose not to consume wheat products for a litany of different reasons. It allows them to be able to come out and try some stuff, too.
A food-derived starch. Explain.
There's, like, different processes. With this exact recipe, I used the potato starch. Because the potato is like part of the DNA of a proper chowder, so that gives me the ability to thicken it without using other products.
This has a sweetness and a spiciness, and it's
very
rich, very satisfying.
Yeah, there's some roasted poblano, roasted red pepper in this to kind of give it more of a Tex-Mex backbone as well, and then a little bit of cumin to bring out some of the smokiness. Again, it's all about layering your flavors, so you have to make sure that you hit every single part, like enough salt, enough pepper. I'm a huge fan of a large amount of black pepper in my chowder, but that's a personal preference. But I like it that way, and that's how I decided to represent like my flavors and all of that.
Are these recipes that we would see at the shop regularly, or is this something you're brewing up just for this event?
I brewed up these two recipes just for this event. The traditional chowder is based on years and years of kind of perfecting different ways of producing it, and I got it down to exactly how I wanted as far as the texture and all of that goes, and the flavor as well. And the Mexican chowder, I mean, once you learn to master soups and sauces specifically, it's a really tough thing. It's hard to recognize, I guess. But once you master that, you're able to kind of change up the other ingredients to create something new.
We're joined today by Rich Matthews of the shop in Troy, Dan Freeman, general manager of Mud Daddy Flats Quesadillery in Troy, and Katie Hammond, who is the executive director of the Downtown Troy Business Improvement District, which is the group that organizes the 11th annual Chowder Fest in Troy, which takes place on Sunday. We will take a quick break here, and we'll get back to our Vox Pop Food Friday. 800-348-2551 is the number.
Support for WAMC comes from Nine Pin Cider, Albany. Hard cider made from local apples. Tasting Room features New York cider, beer, wine, spirits, Tuesday through Sunday, now available in Massachusetts and Connecticut. NinePenCider.com. The Wild Center, Tupper Lake, New York, dedicated to making nature more accessible to everyone. WildCenter.org for details. Warwick Valley Farmers Market, the 24th year of providing locally grown produce and farm fresh food with 37 family farms and artisan kitchens and bakeries. Open Sundays, WarwickValleyFarmersMarket.org. Big Y, for more than 80 years, family-owned and operated market with 5 locations in the Berkshires, with locally grown produce, fresh meat, and seafood, BigY.com. And Cafe Capriccio, Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grant Street in Albany, New York, CafeCapriccio.com.
Vox Pop Food Friday on WAMC, 800-348-2551, the number. Ray Graff with you, and we're joined today by Rich Matthews, Dan Freeman, and Katie Hammond. They're all part of the 11th annual Troy Chowder Fest. Got to tell you, Rich, the corn chowder is amazing, but I think that smoked haddock chowder might be the best seafood chowder I've ever had in my life. I think I could just eat it for the rest of the show.
I appreciate it.
What else did you bring?
The last thing that I brought is the, like I was saying before, the cousin to chowder. This is the Mexican derivative of the same concept of feeding a family when they come back from work doing whatever laborious manual labor they're working with. So this is the pozole.
Now, this does not look like chowder to me, traditional chowder.
It's not a traditional chowder. This is a clear broth.
This looks like soup.
Yeah, this is more of a soup for sure. And this comes with the hominy, which I actually produce myself. As much as possible, I try to, I'm running out of broth here. I try to source stuff from local farms, and everything that I have in this soup specifically is so sourced from a farm directly, including the hominy, which unfortunately did come from the Midwest, but you got to think, the Midwest still needs to support the farming industry. And I didn't buy these ingredients through like a secondhand company. I bought it directly from the farm itself. It's definitely a work-intensive chowder and or soup rather. And in the process of this, I utilize some international techniques. So the broth itself is made with a very slow, very low temperature boil of ham hock, and it produces a broth similar to what they make in a tonkatsu ramen. So it's a little bit stickier, it's a little bit clingier. There's a good deal of protein in there. It's warm and hearty, and it just makes for it tastes like, I would say, more like a Thanksgiving or Easter dinner or something like that.
It's got a lot of salt, and I'm loving this. loving it.
Yeah.
Let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. Nancy in Adams, Massachusetts. Nancy, you're on.
Hello.
Hi.
Chowders and soups are one of my favorite things to make, but I love to make homemade pea soup.
Okay.
And I usually use the ham bone, but it's sometimes too salty. So I've turned myself on to smoked turkey, either necks or legs.
Oh, nice. That's a good way to make a base, a firm base. And ham definitely has that problem. You have different salinity contents of all the different varieties of ham, depending on where you source it from. So salinity can definitely become an issue with some of these soups.
And it's smokier.
Yeah, definitely.
I like the heavy smoke flavor because Ray's talking about smoke this and smoke that. Well, have some smoked turkey homemade pea soup, Ray.
Okay, hey.
I'll bring you some.
All right, you can be on the show next week. All right, Nancy?
Okay.
Hey, thank you for the call. Thanks. Have a great weekend. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Leslie in Delmar is next. Leslie.
Hey there, Ray. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Great.
I called because I'm a recently diagnosed diabetic.
Okay.
And I've been battling with the food issue. And, of course, I'm a chowder lover.
Now, chowder.
And chowder. Give me some. And, you know, there's only one kind of chowder where I come from, and it isn't orange.
No. Yeah, I get that impression. Sure. It's okay.
That's the anti-Manhattan sentiment happening right
exactly.
now.
Exactly. See, it's always bubbling to the surface.
I'm actually a transplanted Long Islander.
Ah.
So recently I had some very decent chowder down on Long Island, but I sat there and picked out the little hunks of potato so that I would not get in any danger from the food.
Right.
So corn, potatoes, and crackers are the worst foods for me. They spike my blood sugar, and it's very hard for me to eat very small portions of them, so I don't even touch them.
Yeah.
I'm wondering about that pozole chowder. Soup. Excuse me.
It's really good.
Sounds really good. Oh, my gosh. And I'm just wondering if pozole maybe has a slightly less sugary profile.
Well, I think that one of
the less carbohydrates, really.
Yeah, for sure. I think one of the big things in my lessons with dealing with like dietary concerns and all of that is that as long as you introduce like a larger portion of fiber into the carbohydrate based food, that kind of helps with that. And hominy is corn, but it's also very intensely high in fiber. And when you boil it, it has this interesting texture and mouthfeel. It kind of turns into like a popcorn texture if you boil it long enough. So if you're looking to make a chowder, I would highly recommend the hominy to be a replacement for that. If you're looking to source that as an item, they do carry it, but you have to go to the international section and you'll find it there next to the beans and all of that. And it's called hominy. I'm trying to think of the other term for it, but I can't remember it off the top of my head.
Pozole is hominy, and you might find that in the Spanish.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
That caters to South Americans, Central Americans, and so forth, and New Mexicans, of course. I do have a friend who frequently goes to New Mexico, and I'm just going to beg her to bring me back some so I can make my own. But then also, I'm probably not going to make it to the Chowder Festival on Sunday.
Okay.
But I would like to know where your establishment is.
Ah, the shop.
The shop. Tell me where the shop is.
Yeah, we're located on the corner of 4th Street and Congress Street. For anybody who's familiar with the history of downtown Troy, it's the former Trojan Hardware store. And our hours were open for dinner Monday through Thursday from 5 until 9:30. We serve food. The bar is open until 11 o'clock. And then Saturday and Sunday, we open up for brunch. Saturday at noon and Sunday at 11 o'clock. And we close at 1 o'clock in the morning on the weekends.
Can I get a good reciprocating saw there as well?
Yeah, unfortunately, we got out of that process. And it's interesting because there are some restaurants that are popping up now. One actually is a hybrid hardware store and bar.
Is there anything that goes worse together than hardware, tools, and getting drunk?
Well, I mean, imagine going to the hardware store and you can get a beer or two on your way.
All right, fair enough. All right. Well, that's Troy. All right, well, the 11th annual Troy Chowder Fest is coming up on Sunday. It's a huge event, and we finally found out a little more about Detroit-style chowder, and our crack producer, Jim Lavoulis, pulled a recipe. And maybe you experts could take a look and tell us about how we make Detroit style. And the reason I bring it up is because Plum Restaurant and Bar, who will be at the annual Troy Chowder Fest on Sunday, is making Detroit style clam chowder. And it's frankly, I'm mystified. What do you think, Dan? Nodding doesn't help on the radio, Dan.
I'm trying to find words, and I'm like...
I noticed the addition of a few things that I don't use often in chowders, and there's some white wine and gumbo filet in there. And gumbo filet is the ground, I believe, root of the sarsaparilla tree. Gives kind of like a root beer flavor, but that is a traditional item in a gumbo. So I'm kind of like curious about it because it is a cream base. I've never had the combination of sarsaparilla or gumbo filet and cream and white wine before, but it would lend a definitely a different flavor. So I am interested to find out if that's the direction that they're going in.
All right.
It's kind of captivating.
Yeah, for the most part, I just rely on just a category or a listing of, there's flavors in my head.
Yeah.
So when I come up with a recipe, a taste is generated in my head. And then I search through the ingredients to try to make that happen in the real world. And I'm reading through this and I'm trying to taste all these ingredients going, I don't know how that's, it's,
well, what's in
I don't know how to put them together.
Well, you have, as for a Sauternes wine, which is a white wine, yeah, a little bit on the sweeter side, there's bay leaf in there, gumbo filet, which is definitely a captivating one, because there really isn't many recipes that call for that, like unless it's Cajun or Creole-style cuisine. So I'm wondering if there is kind of like a Creole backbone to this.
Well, this is very exciting, and we'll be blazing new trails. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Let's go over to Carla in Longmeadow, Massachusetts. Carla.
Hi. I know you were talking about the smoked haddock soup and a chowder, and did you call it Cullen and Skink?
No, I did
that
not.
Is, what is it? It's called in Scotland?
Oh, really? I did not realize that that's where it originated. It
Wait,
makes
no,
sense.
What is it called? Cullen and Skink?
It's called Cullen and Skink because it comes from Cullen in Scotland. I'm not Scottish. I'm Sicilian, but my husband is Scottish. So we took a trip there and just in June, and the cuisine was fantastic, just so you know. Lots of great salmon. But every restaurant had its own version of the Cullen and Skink, and obviously it's very rich. So I came home, and I immediately wanted to make it. So I tried to find smoked haddock, and, you know, I could purchase it, like, from Boston for, like, $50 a pound or something like that. So what I wanted to know is there an easy way to smoke the haddock? I actually made mine with smoked salmon, which was delicious, but maybe a little bit too rich. So I just wondered, is there an easy way to smoke haddock without a big smoker in the whole production?
Well, you get into a few different ways that you can do this. The easiest way that I can recommend, and you can go online on YouTube even and find videos, instructional videos of how to do this. You can actually smoke on your grill. And the way that you would do that is you would introduce whatever wood chips you wanted to impart the flavor in. Then whatever food you want to smoke, you would just put on the grates. And if you were worried about them overcooking, you could add like a pan of water underneath. So you'd line it, two foil pans, and line one with water. And that would help the food cook more gradually, especially the fish, and help it probably not stick. There's a less ambitious way that you can go about it, and I'm not really a huge fan of this process, but you can also buy liquid smoke.
Why don't you like that?
I don't like it.
Yeah,
because,
no, I don't want to do that.
Yeah,
no,
I don't like it either.
I'm too curious for that. But
yeah, the reason why I don't really stand for that is because it's usually, it's creosote, and they actually just combine creosote usually with an alcohol base or a glycerin or water base. And you don't really know what is going into that, like where the wood was sourced, how it was produced. So
yeah,
I would highly recommend the indirect smoking method. It would be considered a hot smoke. And you can just, like I said, go on YouTube. There is some great videos on there, instructional videos on how to produce a smoke flavor at home with very easy cleanup and very minimal utensils and all of that.
Do you have a grill, Carla?
Excellent. Pardon?
Do you have a grill?
Do I have a – oh, I certainly do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We do a lot of this at home. Yeah. We use the lump charcoal, and then I will just get wood chips and I'll put whatever it is, sausages or whatever, as far away from the fire as I can, and then we'll just feed wood chips onto the charcoal, the lump charcoal,
it'll give it
great.
Smoky flavor. Okay, that's great. Yeah, so just so you know, Cullen and Skink, and it's truly delicious, and every, you know, pub that you go to has their version, and they're big on kale, too, so sometimes they'll drop a little bit of kale on top of it. And
kale can grow in almost 15-degree weather, so it's definitely very very suitable to the Scottish climate.
Carla, thanks a lot for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. So when you smoke the haddock, you said about an hour and a half, Rich?
Yes, about an hour and a half. And that was at Right around 185 degrees. You can smoke at lower temperatures or higher temperatures. I use an indirect water smoker is actually what they call it. So it does utilize steam in the cooking process. If you're doing it over a grill, the temperature is a little bit less controllable. So I would probably go for closer to like 30 or 45 minutes. The important thing is with smoking, you never want to overdo it. It's like adding too much pepper to a dish. It's just going to be overpowered, or adding too much basil to a dish or too much garlic. You want to make sure the flavor is nuanced. You never want it to dominate the dish because smoke can develop a very bitter flavor, and that can last.
However, it would be tough to dominate this haddock chowder because there's so much else in it, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of other stuff in it, but the thing that you want to avoid is the bitterness of the smoke, because smoke does produce a very bitter flavor.
All right, back to the phones we go. Adrian, where are you calling from, Adrian?
Hi, I'm calling from Route 17 on my way up to Youngsville, New York.
All right, well, you're on the air.
Well, I want to tell you, you guys, this is a fabulous program.
Thank you.
Here's my only desire. Would you please have somebody post on your website some of the locations so those of us who wanted to come and don't know all the different places could find our way?
It's a great idea. What it is is the Chowder Fest in Troy, and we have a link to the 11th Annual Chowder Fest right from our Food Friday page for today. So if you hit that link, you'll find out all about it.
So it'll tell all the locations, and you can't get lost?
Oh, you might be able to get lost. Katie, what do you think? Could she get lost?
You might get lost with the one-way streets, but I think you can find your way. If you need to catch that trolley, you can probably find your way a little easier. But yeah, on our website, the locations of all of the all the competitors are listed.
There's also a map as well. It does map out the entire layout of downtown Troy. And also, dealing with the bid before, they do have a great deal of actual community involvement. So there is going to be people walking around with Chowderfest shirts, just kind of making rounds and making sure that all the establishments are running smoothly as possible. And most of those people, like all those people, are very accommodating with like trying to assist if you need to find anything.
And the one way streets in Troy are always a treat, though. I've spent several weeks there lost.
But then you just walk around and find your way places.
Even if you're driving, it's very difficult. But
we do have a walking guide, great little pocketbook.
Oh, really?
There is a walking guide, lists all the businesses, where they at, where they at, where they're
at. Where they at is fine. It's public. It's public radio.
It gives you a grid, tells you who's what, who's where.
Cool.
And
how do you get that?
You can pick them up at most restaurants, bars, retail spots downtown, as well as our office.
Fair enough. Our number here is 800-348-2551 in the waning minutes of a Food Friday. Let's go to Roberta in Kingston. Roberta.
Hi. I was wondering, where do you pick up a ticket? And how much does it cost? And I ask this because I don't have a computer.
Okay, we're not allowed on public radio to talk about costs, but you can go there. You walk around for free, right?
It's a free festival. Yeah. Yep.
And then I think samples would cost a nominal amount. It's Yeah, so it's a cool thing to do, and there's entertainment and whatnot, you know.
What time?
It's 12 to 4. There's also some advertising out there that you can find more information about through newspapers.
Might as well give the website out once again, Katie.
It's downtowntroy.org.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay.
Well, thanks a lot, Roberta. We appreciate it. All right, so about a minute and a half here to go in the program. Dan Frament, any wisdom you want to impart before we go away?
This is a great festival. This is a great time. It's in a beautiful city. If you want to have a good time, get some great chowder, this is the place to be on Sunday.
How long have you been in the town?
5 years.
Really? And you've settled in nicely and you like it?
Oh, absolutely. This is actually my hometown. I moved back to Troy to open my business in 2012.
That's terrific. Katie Hammond, what do you want to tell us about the event that we haven't discussed?
The easiest way when you show up, come to Monument Square, Barker Park, or the Green Island Bridge parking lot, and that's where you can purchase your tickets. Really, just come enjoy the chowder. The lines will be a little less long this year because we have more vendors.
Oh, that's great.
So last year we had about 13 competitors. We have 20 this year. So the lines will be a little smoother this year. It'll be easier to get around.
Tell me about the judging. Now, the judges, they're in a secret booth, right? And they're tasting everything.
Uh-huh.
When do we find out who won?
So awards will happen on the Monument Square stage at 4 o'clock.
Okay. So great. So at the end, everybody
right
gets
at the
a chance.
End, yep.
And is there ever controversy?
Not
you know,
that I know of.
one restaurant saying, hey, look, there's a little payola going involved here.
Oh, no.
No, it's all above board?
Definitely, yes.
All right, Rich Matthews from The Shop in Troy, you're gearing up. You're ready to go. What time will you be there on Sunday?
Sunday, we serve brunch anyway, so I'll be there probably 9 o'clock in the morning starting to heat up the chowder and all of that. It's a long, work-intensive process, just getting it warm.
Well, this is fun. And again, if you want to find out more, you go to the website.
DowntownTroy.org.
Well, thank you so much, Rich, Dan, and Katie, for being here. Support comes from Silver Bay YMCA Conference and Family Retreat Center on Lake George, New York. Open to all for family reunions, conferences, and personal retreats. SilverBay.org. College Street Motors, Amherst, Massachusetts, for over 30 years, specializing in foreign and domestic car and truck repair and 24-hour towing. Full-service gas includes checking of fluids, tire pressure, and window washing. CollegeStreetMotors.com. Convino Wine Bar, Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 70 wines by the glass and a full menu from afternoon snack through nightcap. Live music Sundays and Mondays. Outdoor seating. Thorns Marketplace. ConvinoNoho.com. And Harold's Ice Cream, Thorns Marketplace, Old South Street, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Dairy at No Moo, dairy free. Handmade artisan ice cream, sweet baked goods, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. Well, that's it for our Food Friday today. Thanks again to Richard Matthews, Dan Frament, and Katie Hammond for being here today. For more information about the Troy Chowder Fest this Sunday, 12 to 4, you can find it right on our Food Friday show page. You'll find the links there. Thanks to our engineer, Zach Malloy. Louise Butler, who's still not on the script, took the calls and did very well. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Have a lovely weekend full of chowder, don't you know? We'll be back on Monday with a Medical Monday. Stand by now for news.